Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking our top 30 Supercoach rankings. And as always, to help us do that is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing alright, Jono. No big deal. Won the Bowls Club Championship on the weekend, so I'm pretty up and about. Did devour about 10 schooners after it and feel like a winner.
And you come from the Ashes and won the Fours as well, didn't you?
Yeah, we were miles down in that. Won the Peninsula Fours tournament, spread out over a couple of weeks. But, so a couple of titles on the weekend for the bowling fizz.
Very good. And he still has his, it looks like he's semi-upgraded with a doona who's living in the servants' quarters. It's the Statesman. Welcome to you, pal.
G'day, gentlemen. I must admit, I'm a happy little camper. It's BBL season. I know Stevie has these little problems with games actually created for people that have come from Australia. But, I'm a happy little camper. And although I must admit, I'm not the biggest Supercoach fanatic in this world, I'm looking forward to tearing apart your gentlemen's list.
That's all right. I'll just tear apart your Big Bash team again and take out the trophy again.
No. Won't be happening, buddy.
How did you win last year, John?
I did. Beat Statesman in the final, and he's still very salty.
No,
about
I finished overall way ahead of you. I was in the top 100, buddy.
Yeah, but you didn't win the title.
I was in the top 100.
Do you have a?
It's all that matters.
It's not about top 100. It's about the title. If you're not first, you're last.
So, all I can say is AFL fantasy and BBL fantasy within 9 months of each other. In the top 100 in both. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
And I must apologise to the listeners if you can hear that in the background. We've got some pretty bad storms overhead at the moment, so a bit of thunder and heavy rain, so we do apologise if you can hear that over the microphones. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Just search The Draft Doctors there. But we are doing our top 30 Supercoach rankings. Basically, we're going to run down our 30 players off one list, and we're just going to have a roundtable discussion. And just to kick it off, we're just going to run through 10 at a time, just to get through it. But the first 10 we've got, kicking off as my number one, is Paddy Dangerfield, then going to Tommy Mitchell, Dusty Martin, Nathan Fife, Josh Kelly, Zach Merritt, Dane Zorko, Tom Rockliffe, Scotty Pendlebury, and Rory Laird is the first 10.
Wow. Rory Laird?
For Supercoach, yes, he's quite a good scorer. And I see him being the number one defender this year.
Okay, so... yeah, so he's your only position player in the top 10, is that right?
Yes. The other nine were midfielders.
Wow, so you've got... So just go through them quickly again. See, I had Kelly at 3, and I've got Fife ahead of Dusty as well.
So, yeah, just to go through it a bit slower this time, it was Danger, Tommy Mitchell, Dusty Martin, Nathan Fife, Josh Kelly, Zach Merritt, Dane Zorko, Tom Rockliffe, Pendlebury, and Rory Laird.
So Dane Zorko at 7.
Yeah, I think he's going to continue on his way and tear it up again. And plus, people are just going to see that average and draft him probably a bit higher than normal. So...
do you worry about the tag with Zorko? Like, we saw him get tagged a couple of times at the end of the year, and he just melted. Like, he scored 50s.
Yeah, but he's going to have big, bustling Mitch Robinson to protect him, and it depends on how they go. They have tagged Rich in the past, but they seem to go away from that in 2017. So it is an interesting one, and it's one we just have to watch, I guess.
Yeah, I find it hard to consider him over Neil.
Yeah, it's horses for courses. Can contemplate, like, the top 30 is bloody hard. I've spent ages on this. My top 10 changed, but Neil is in the second 20, so it's very hard to get that top 10 right. But you got any thoughts there, Statesman?
Yeah, it's just interesting. I really didn't notice a breakout player in your list, and maybe I always think too far ahead, but I know Josh Kelly was there, but I'm like Steve, I think he's rated a little bit higher. Also, just a point of question, there's no Ruckman there, and it was of my understanding that in Supercoach, Ruckman were probably a bit more valuable than they were in Dream Team.
Yeah, I understand that. I just think coming into next season, Ruckman are going to drop. There's always been that one outlier, Ruckman, where they go big, but I think they're coming back to the pack the way the scoring works in Supercoach. I mean, you actually get penalised if someone sharks your hit out. You actually lose points for that. So, again, you're not going to see... You might see one person go 120, 130, but they're going to be around the 100 to 95 mark, Ruckman, next year, I think. So, certainly going to slide down the list.
I think the big problem with that is that I have Max Gawn ranked as my number one Ruckman, but rather checkered injury history. He's really only put together the one
correct
season. I can't spend a top 10 pick on someone I just don't have the trust in.
No confidence.
I actually don't have him in my top 30, so that's how low I am on Ruckman in general. But
Nick Nat?
Well, he's my number two ranked Supercoach Ruckman. Obviously, if my number one's not in the top third, I mean, I'm pretty happy taking him in the fourth round.
Yeah.
But I really want to square away. I say, your best ability is your availability. Unlike Jono, I've actually got three defenders in my top 10. I really want to snare one of those top defenders. I think there's a big gap between the top three. I've got Zach Williams at 7,
Wow.
Yo at 8, and Laird at 9. Now, I'm not saying I'd draft them in that order in the first round.
Yeah.
You can probably wait on Zach Williams to the second round, maybe even the third round. But I really want to nail one of those top defenders. I just see the depth in the position it just isn't there for mine.
Yeah, and that's something I've been looking at as well. You look at the defenders this year, and that top tier talent just slides away much quicker than the forwards, where you've probably got at least 10 top talented forwards this year, where you've maybe got five top talented defenders this year.
Well, I've even got quite, like, I was tweeted out. Well, this show's coming out after Christmas, so I tweeted out about a week and a half ago that I see Michael Hibbert dropping off. Like, you can't, like, Supercoach rewards the intercept possessions. You can't bring in the number one intercept player in the game and expect to maintain your average. It's just crazy. So I've got those three guys at the top. I've got Heaney actually at number 10, and that's my top 10, how that sort of looks. I guess we can talk about that at the end, but I don't know. A couple of old faithfuls there, Jono. It's very mid-heavy.
Old faithful. It is mid-heavy. But when the next 10, I've got Menegola, Lachie Neal, Isaac Heaney, Clay Oliver, Zach Williams, Rory Sloan, Yo, Toby Green, Jack Billings, and Matt Crouch for the second 10.
So that's really positionally heavy.
Yeah. I was just more looking at people looking to stow away that captain option first there in the first round, and then look to go positional in the second. But again, it also depends on where you're drafting as well.
You don't have questions over Menegola. We saw, like, I don't have him in my top 20. We've seen the news come out again a week and a half ago when we're recording the show that Gary Ablett's going to play midfield. We've recruited Gary Ablett to play midfield. If I was really into Menegola, Menegola's great for Dream Team. He's still pretty good for Supercoach. Statesman looks like he needs to go to the bathroom. I've got concerns. I've got to be honest. If I'm spending my second round pick on this guy, I'm terrified.
But if there's no concerns.
But if Menegola still returns you a 95 average.
If you listened to last week's podcast, Steve, you would have realised there's no concerns. And it's interesting that, after we thrashed that out a week ago, that actually Jono's changed his tip and has actually gone with my suggestion. So it's quite remarkable. Look, there's no concern there. I actually think there's a bit more of a concern with Heaney for the time being. Just with that Swan midfield mix, I think Heaney's going to spend a lot more time up forward than Menegola will. And we should not get concerned of what coaches are saying about where their players are playing when we're talking December. And at the moment, they're just keeping their player happy. But the end of the day, Gary Ablett, if he's going to play full-time midfield, will play 10 to 12 games of footy before he breaks down. But if they get the mix right, him and Paddy spending time up forward and through the midfield, then he'll actually play out the whole season, be an important part of them actually starting to score enough to win enough games to play in the top four. And that's the right mix, and Menegola get the reward. So you actually got that line of those two. They are pretty close, but Menegola is ahead of Heaney.
I actually do agree with you on that one, Statesman. I see Menegola as the young stud rising up, learn the craft a bit more under Ablett, Duncan, Selwood and Danger. And then once Selwood and Ablett are gone, he'll be reigning that midfield for the next 10 years. It's just basically a rite of passage for
him.
What's the, so go through your top 10, your second 10 again, Jono?
Menegola, Lucky Neal, Isaac Heaney, Clayton Oliver, Zach Williams, Rory Sloane, Elliot Yeo, Toby Green, Jack Billings, Matt Crouch.
Okay, see, I got Billings a lot higher. I got him at 11.
So you'd take, you said you had Heaney at 9 in your,
I got Heaney
in your
at,
list. Or 10.
I got Heaney at, this is my second 10. I got Heaney at, well, Heaney's at 10. Billings at 11. They're my top two mids. I have them in front. That's my top tier. Zach Merritt at 11. Matt Crouch at 13. I've got the Bont at 14. Dane Zorko at 15. So obviously a lot later than you. Rory Sloane at 16. Clayton Oliver at 17. Joel Selwood at 18. Dane Beams at 19. And Scotty Pendlebury at 20, which I don't think I'll be getting him, but I think that's about where he should be. I think there's a few question marks over old Pendles.
Early reports again that he's going to be playing defence or forward or some other crap. I don't believe it. Or do you just think injury's going to catch up with him?
I just don't think the 120 average is there anymore. Like, the midfield at Collingwood bats pretty deep. You know, they've got guys they're grooming. He is transitioning in role to prolong his career. I don't see the big 150s week in and week out that we see from Pendles. I've got a bunch of positional players at the end of the top 10 at the start of the teens, and then it's just mids. All the mids in the world. And you can throw a blanket over them for me.
Mm. No worries. Moving on to the last 10, I've got Cade Simpson, the Bont, Paddy Cripps, Dane Beams, Michael Hibbard, first and only ruckman in Paddy Ryder. He's my number one ruckman.
Wow.
Whoa.
Ooh, I wouldn't have him in my top three.
Seb Ross, JPK, Seb Buddy, Ross. And Michael Hurley.
Seb Ross?
He's going to be my bolter for 2018.
We talked about Hurley a couple of weeks ago, mate. That was one out of the box. That's never happening again.
Go through that slowly so I can just vomit whilst I write him down.
Cade Simpson.
No.
The Bont.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow, Paddy low. Cripps.
Yep, fair enough.
Dane Beams.
Mm.
Hibbard.
No.
Paddy Ryder.
No.
Seb Ross.
No.
JPK.
Mm.
Buddy Franklin. Michael Hurley.
Buddy Franklin. Michael Hurley. No.
Well, I've got Buddy at 30, so that's fine.
Yeah.
So that'd be my what? One. Where? Two, three. Four, five. Hurley be my sixth defender, so still a top 10 defender, but coming at number six in that top 30 in terms of defenders.
Where's your Daniel Rich, mate? Where's your Daniel Rich? You were raving about him last week. Where is he now?
We'll talk about that another time, off air. or you heard it on the pod.
So you don't have Ablett in your top 30?
Nope, don't have Joel Selwood either.
What? That is insane.
Wow. No. Hey, I called him. I called him as a burn man. I got no bar of him.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, unless you're going with it, that's fine. I think that's crazy though.
No Ollie Wines.
But Seb Ross, I see, is being a bolter this year. I think he's set to pounce straight up into that top 30 and top 20 midfielders as well for me.
Sorry, did you have Billings?
Yep, he came in 19.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So some players I've got that you don't in your top 30. I got Ablett in mine. I got Alex Rance in. I got Alex Rance in at 24. I got Jeremy McGovern in at 26 as well.
Wow.
And Toby Green at 29. I know he's injured at the moment, but he's a stud.
29.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's 94. That's my next tier of forwards. Menegola, Green,
so he's
and Buddy.
In your second tier of forwards?
Yeah, that's right. I've got him at number 4 for the year.
Yeah.
So,
Fair assessment.
Yeah, I think our forward lines are pretty different. Our forward rankings are pretty different. I got Paddy Cripps, 23, so we're pretty spot on there. I don't have Cade Simpson in my top 30. You've got him at 21. What's the logic there?
They're super consistent. Are they going to continue that kick mark game? So with Mullet there, do they play the same game style another year? With Doherty, do they continue to develop? He's just super consistent. 94 averaging for, what, 10 years? How do you pass up on it?
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I'm a convert to him. I'm a convert to him. Like, I was never a fan, but I am now preaching to the
choir. How old's Cade?
Oh, about 39, 40, something like that. He's old, but he doesn't miss.
Yeah, he doesn't miss. That is true. I'm a little bit higher on themes than you. I still can't get over Ryder.
He's going to be the number one ruckman.
How? How do you figure that?
Cruiser has one out of the box, averaging 100, injury concerns.
That's fine. Go on.
Goldie, he could take the title. I don't see it. Nick Nat is a great contender. Max Gorn, as you just said, has the injury concern. Ryder's consistent. He's got no, he's soul rucking. He's got no competition down there. What, Dougal Howard's going to take it off him? Get stuffed.
I understand that, but what's his upside? Like, he's not going to average 110.
I'm not looking to get him at 110, but he'll be over, probably the only one over 100 in Supercoach.
Oh, I find that hard to believe. I think I would.
Nick Nat
stays fit.
Nick Nat's the only one going to go close to him if he stays
fit. Will average more than 100.
But you think, you look at West Coast as well, they've got Ryder. Lysette, he's going to probably play. Do they play Vardy as well?
They're not going to play two of them.
They have done it before.
They're not going to play three ruckman.
Didn't they do it last year with Petrie? Oh,
the dog's breakfast ruck setup. I don't know, man.
Do it a couple of years ago with Dean Cox. They had Dean Cox, Nick Nat, and Lysette for a few games. Would have been a few years ago.
I don't know, man. That's I don't know. That's a stiff price to pay.
Well, it certainly is an interesting top 30. I mean, and that's the thing about rankings. It's everyone's opinion. But, you know, we're close on some and we're further apart on others.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bring up where I've actually got Seb Ross, because I know you've got the big breakout, and that's really interesting. I mean, you'll end up with him. I've got him at 31 for the midfielders.
Yeah, I wouldn't have him in the top 30 mid.
No, I'm all about Seb Ross next year. He's my go-to guy that I'm gunning for.
But what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Like, in that team, there's so many other players who are getting the contested pill, and that's sort of what you need to score big in Supercoach. Otherwise, you're kicking goals. Like, I just don't see him doing either of those things. Like, he only gets four tackles a game. I don't see the way that he improves in the areas you need to improve to score well in Supercoach.
I totally disagree. I think you got Armitage out, you got Jack Stephen. Jack Stephen's just a shell of what he used to be.
It's not about those guys though. It's about the other inside guys like your Steels and your Dunstans.
I understand that you think Dunstan's going to be playing more inside than Ross.
That's his role. That's his game. Right. That's his only trick.
I think Seb Ross goes full inside as well next year.
I don't know, man. 80 games into your career, like, I don't know.
You say I sit on the fence, I'm putting it out there.
No, that's fine. I just don't see it. Like, I mean, is he going to start laying seven tackles a game?
It's quite possible.
Oh.
It's quite possible. Three more tackles a game, that's one a quarter.
That's basically double his career, though.
It happens. Oh, it happens. This, what is he, this late fifth in, year?
This will be his seventh year.
Seventh year. It's possible. It's possible.
Anyway, I find it hard to believe. Statesman, you tell him.
Yeah, I'm not on it.
I'll prove you wrong yet again. But if you do like the show, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And if you've got a couple of minutes, please do leave us a review. We really appreciate it. It only takes a couple of minutes. As you saw, Steve, a couple of weeks ago, left a review for the Phantom's new podcast. Posted on social media, the Phantom replied. It helps everyone's brand. It helps ours. It helps the Phantom. So please do hit us, give us a review, and do hit that subscribe button so all these shows comes direct to your devices over the Christmas year. But, Steve, it's time for that top five list. And what are we doing this week, is it?
The Olympic sports.
It is the Olympics. Okay, I just got mixed up there. It is our top five favourite Olympic sports.
You didn't want to ask the Statesman if he had any thoughts on the Supercoach?
No, I have no thoughts on Supercoach.
But it is our time for that top five list where it's causing great debates all over social media, and maybe even Donald Trump might tweet about it one day and we'll get him involved with his top five wall-building techniques or something like that. But this week it is top five of our favourite Olympic sports, and why don't you kick us off, Steve, with your top five favourite Olympic sports?
Yes, fair to say there's a few Olympic sports I quite enjoy. Number five, the diving. I quite like the diving. I find it pretty relaxing. It's pretty entertaining and whatnot, and a lot of splashes. That's always fun. You can the one thing I like about sport,
to in an evening. Oh, I'm going to get some splashes tonight.
Well, I don't know how you do things as a home statesman, but there can be a bit of splashing in the Fizz household. But like the one thing like I love with random sports that crop up is everyone always becomes an expert on them. And the diving, you can be like, oh, there's a little bit of back. Oh, that's going to cost them. You know,
he had a fingernail that was on a 45-degree angle. He's out.
You know, old Father Fizz, you know, he loves being an expert on things he has zero idea about. So that's always, I always think that's funny. Number four, I got the pole vault. I think that's pretty exciting. Not a big track and field fan, but I find the pole vault pretty entertaining. I was watching a video online the other day where there was a gentleman doing the pole vault, and he cleared the bar. And there was a certain appendage that was flying around in his spandex, clipped the bar and knocked it off. And, you know, he was jumping 5 foot, but he found an extra 9 inches and that found him unstuck.
Extra 9 inches is always a good thing.
Number three, I've gone to the Winter Olympics, gentlemen. And lawn bowls on ice, I've gone for the curling. Quite like the curling. I don't know. Bit of strategy, whatever. Number four, I've got the archery. I quite like the archery. That was one of the first things.
Number two?
That was one of
you said number four.
Oh, sorry, number two, archery.
Yep.
Quite exciting. And number one, I've got the weightlifting. I love the weightlifting. There's always a chance of injury. Big, sweaty men lifting heavy things. I'm all about it.
All on drugs. Never clean. The uncleanest sport in the history of sports.
Absolutely. Except for cricket.
That's why we... Oh!
Hey, tell me it's not true.
No, I don't mind the weightlifting. I do mind my archery as well. Stacey, what are your top five? This will probably be like rhythmic gymnastics and synchronized swimming or something like that.
Yeah, my sports are football and cricket. So, yeah, it'll be synchronized swimming. Yeah. No, you're spot on, Jono. Yeah, well worked out. So I will say, gentlemen, I used to love the Olympics. Not so anymore. Like when it's on, was it London the last one, or was it Brazil the last one before love?
Brazil
and London. So 2012, 2016. I reckon in total, I probably would have watched about half an hour, to be honest. And the little ceremonies, I just watched the news segment of the few little highlights. I went, oh, that's good. Anyway, moving to my top five. First, it has to be the 100-meter sprint. It's just the hyped event. It's massive. It's big. And both male and female are fantastic to watch. Secondly, and more...
And it finishes quicker than you.
Yes, that is true. Which makes me feel good about myself. number four, and it's mainly because we're always around abouts in it, is actually the hockey. So I like watching the semi-finals and the finals of the hockey because Australia are generally in both. Thirdly is the cycling. And I've always liked cycling. And again, it's probably because Australia have generally been pretty good at both Commonwealth and Olympic. But I love the cycling. And we're more talking about the track, the pursuit type of stuff.
Yep.
And when they do the sprint off, so I can't remember what that's actually called, but when they're sprinting off against each other, the best of three. I reckon they're fantastic to watch. Second is actually I don't really like field. I don't mind stuff on the track. But the thing I enjoy the most, and I actually make sure I watch them, is when the relays happen. So the 4x100, the 4x400 relays, I reckon they're just absolutely sensational to watch. And obviously, come Commonwealth Games, Australia can do so well. And number one, of course, is Australia's number one sport when we're talking both Commonwealth Games and Olympics, is the swimming. Love it.
I don't watch. I watch the cycling. I like my cycling. Don't watch the swimming. Don't watch the running. What else did you have in there?
Had the 100-meter sprint, hockey, cycling, the relays on the track, and swimming. Again,
I like the hockey. I do watch the hockey.
That's football and cricket, gentlemen. Get with the program.
Yeah, that is the most vanilla list. Yep. I don't like races. I've got to be honest. I'm not a big fan of races.
Melbourne Cup. Just... Do you watch the Melbourne Cup? That's a race. It stops the nation, mate. It's a race.
But isn't the footy season a race to the finals and then start again?
It is.
No, it's a race
to the premiership.
Well, football's reality TV, let's be honest. But
true. Yeah, you're right.
Well, sport is reality TV, yeah.
They're just things that go the quickest, like, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same with cars. I like two types of cars, ones that are fast and the other ones that are practical.
Come on, Jonah, give us your list.
Coming in number five, I do agree with Statesman. I love my pursuit cycling. Just two people trying to chase each other down. If they can combine that with another activity
shooting?
On my list here, I think...
So they've got to race around, they've got to beat each other. Then they've got to shoot the other one.
Then you're racing and playing Hunger Games the real life. Real life. So I love my pursuit cycling. Just something about it. People chasing each other. It's fantastic. Moving to the Winter Olympics for me, it's the luge / skeleton where you're going, one you go down head first, the other feet first. You can't do anything to steer. You are in the hands of the gods of that one. It's unreal to watch. Like, I don't know how they even steer, to be honest. I mean, they use their butt cheeks or something.
I can never understand, you only see them for about 10 seconds of the minute and a half track. So they've got to feel the time when they're going through the tunnels and that type of stuff. Talking about what's happening.
They just basically talk about the weather conditions and the
correct.
Track. Oh, there's a bit of
there's
ice in turn
four.
There's
only so many times you can hear the same weather conditions, because when 300 of them are going down in the space of an hour and a half, there's not too much you can cover.
Well, that's why you just put it on mute. You have it. You're looking at watching the Big Bash or something on your iPad or whatever. Just have it in the back. It's background noise.
It's
basically
much better in a highlights package. So let them do the 6-hour event. And then give you the 2.5 minutes of highlights. Who went the fastest? Who went the slowest? And how many crashes did you have?
Who crashed? Oh, yeah. Got to have the crashes. Number three for me is the shooting / the trap shooting. Yeah, pull, bang. Love watching that.
Oh, God. Do you like golf on television too?
Yes, I do, actually. No, I love the shooting. Background is Maltese, Australian, so big Maltese are big shooters over there. Same with the Aussies. Love watching them do that. It's a skill, just like archery, which comes in at number two for me. I love the archery, just the precision you need to do to hit those targets from however far away they are. And number one for me is the handball. It is one of the most violent sports out there. It's a great sport. You got a mini soccer ball size thing, and you're just pelting it as hard as you can at people, throwing the elbows, fisticuffs everywhere. Best sport ever, even though we don't have it here in Australia, which we should.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. At least you had archery in there.
True.
Great sport. All right. That wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. We are on Facebook and Instagram. We hope you had a good Christmas and hope you have a safe and happy new year.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.